Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office. Although, Zorba, we're missing those inspirational posters that have, kittens and hang in there.
Happy things.
Bear catching a salmon.
I'm here to have a good time, even though I'm the doctor. I'm not really going to have a good time. But let's make you as happy as you possibly can.
Can we get some posters around here? That'd be nice.
But actually, I've got to tell you, years ago, before I became part of a larger clinic, we merged with a clinic. When I first started, it was in a small office, and we had ashtrays.
Oh, sure.
Can you believe it?
I love it. Smoking doctors.
Smoke it. Not just us. I didn't smoke, but the patients would smoke. You'd be in the waiting room with somebody who smoked. Well, that's times have changed.
Speaking of smoking, we'll talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics today, Zorba.
Yes, we're going to talk about walking. We're going to talk about jogging, its effect on depression, what you should be doing, especially if you have either minimal depression or major depression. And then we're going to talk about fruit juice. Is it really healthy for children? You'd be surprised at what the data shows.
And what's that special recipe today?
Spinach and chickpea stew. I love chickpeas. I especially love chickpeas because I never pronounce garbanzos the right way.
Oh, you've just been I nailed it.
Garbanzo.
Garbanzo.
I got it. Anyway, it's great. Spinach and chickpea stew. It's a wonderful, good veggie recipe.
It sounds great. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's welcome our first caller now. This is a listener from Mosinee, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a 64-year-old woman. I have a BMI of 33. I'm a kidney stone producer for over 30 years. I've had about 7 or 8 lithotripsies.
Oh, wow.
I have acid.
That's a lot.
I've had acid reflux and emphysema. I am concerned about
diet. Do you smoke, by the way, now?
Actually, I quit 30-some years ago.
Wow, and you still got emphysema. How many years did you smoke for?
No. Oh, mine's hereditary emphysema.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So you've got the genetic predisposition, so you inherited that, right?
Yeah. But the reason I'm calling is I need to go on a diet. It might help my breathing. It might help everything. I'm sure it will. And I've tried Nutrisystem, and the food was just awful. You paid too much money for it.
You got a cardboard food that you rehydrated and paid a lot of money for. And no one in their right mind would eat it unless you were on a desert island and had nothing else to eat.
Oh, my gosh. It was awful. So I'm thinking about trying the Golo diet. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you can eat all the food groups, except for a bunch of sugar products. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, and then they talk about taking a release pill. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if that would be a good diet for me since I do produce stones. I don't know. I just don't know what to do anymore.
So first of all, let's talk about stones for just a second. We don't really know, we don't have any good way to keep people from producing kidney stones. There are a few things you can do. We look at, urine. Sometimes we'll add some acid or base products to try to get those stones. But obviously, you've seen a urologist. You've had lithotripsy, which are sound waves that actually, get the stones become smaller so you pass them for people who don't know that. But we don't have a good drug to get rid of stones yet. We don't have it. It affects 2-3% of the population or more. I myself have had 2 sets of stones. I haven't had anything, and I had 1 lithotripsy. So I'm familiar with that. So there is no diet that really prevents stones. There may be diets that make you more likely to get stones, but the data is minimal on there. Now, The GOLO diet is basically a low glycemic index diet. If you look up glycemic index, it's how much insulin is actually produced when you eat stuff. So as you can imagine, sugar goes into the body, absorbs right away, and pop, your insulin goes up. And the idea behind the diet you're looking at, the GOLO diet, is to eat less refined foods. I mean, that's really what it is, and less fewer foods, like apple juice that has a high glycemic index. But they also want to sell you stuff. They want to sell you product that is untested. And like a lot of other supplements, they'll say, yes, scientific studies have shown, and we can quote the scientific studies. Yeah, but they're low-grade scientific studies done by my mother, probably, who's been dead for 50 years. You know what I mean? They're junk.
She's still doing studies.
Yes, junk.
She's still being quoted. She's still done studies, along with my five-year-old son, who's now in his 40s. You know, so they're junk. They're junk studies. You know, they're like, you know, elementary school studies. What's blue? What's red? So going on a low glycemic index diet is a really good idea, but I wouldn't bother with the supplements that they're going to sell you for hundreds or thousands of dollars a year, because they don't work. It's a problem. You've had a problem, you know, for years. How's your blood sugar, by the way? Are you pre-diabetic or not?
No, I am not. Mm-hmm. And my cholesterol and stuff like that's a little high, but no, and I do not have high blood pressure. They say my lungs are the same as they were when I was in my 30s, which is just amazing.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because I don't polka dance anymore.
That's amazing. Well, I wish I had an easy treatment for it. You know, the GLP drugs, like Ozempic and other drugs in that class, are very expensive if they're not covered by insurance and if you're not a diabetic. Yeah. And also, it remains to be seen how good these drugs, how well they work in non-diabetics. We know they've been very good for diabetics over the years, but we don't know if they work in non-diabetics. People also tend to lose fat in their face, so wrinkles come in and they look older.
Yeah, Zorba, I've had cancer, and I'm so afraid of taking drugs that could cause me to get more. I've had breast cancer. I don't want to go through all that again. I'm worried about side effects.
And you know something? You hit it right on the head. You're worried about side effects. And these drugs are being used willy-nilly, not for diabetics, where they're really useful. And we don't know what's going to happen 20 years down the line. So you hit another important point. You don't want to take anything that you don't know is natural and healthy. And here it is, the GOLO people want to sell you something. And it's like, really? What is in there? And it's not regulated by the feds, so you don't even know what you're getting. So low glycemic index diets, look that up. Try to follow that and stay away from the supplements that cost you money.
I've already spent so much money on those drugs, you wouldn't even believe it. And I mean, people, drink, what did they say? Drink vinegar. And oh my God, are you kidding me? And I mean, all kinds of stuff people have told me and they talk about online and everything else. So thank you for your advice. I really appreciate it.
You're
now
welcome.
I know not to be buying all those drugs because I've spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on that stuff and it didn't work.
That's right.
Did not
work. That's right. Good important point.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's get to our first healthy living topic today. There's some new research out. Walking, jogging, yoga, and strength training can maybe ease depression?
Well, it really is an effect on depression. So if you look at depression, 3 to 5% of the population at any time suffers from depression. Sometimes it's minor depression from a breakup, or it could be a major depression from a breakup or someone
died. Did you say 3 to 4?
3 to 4%.
I thought it was more for some reason.
But at any particular time.
Okay.
Well, there are more. I mean, the lifetime incidence of depression is quite high.
Okay.
Definitely higher.
Yeah.
But it's a common thing. And of course, people who are depressed, you know, first thing we recommend if they come in the office is we look at antidepressants, counseling, and so on. But this is a study that looks at the benefits, as you said, of exercise and depression. Now, do you get depressed?
I don't know, not seriously depressed, but I mean, you know, there's ups and downs,
Yeah. But imagine if you were stuck in the ups or downs, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's a real issue. Well, this was a series of articles. Researchers looked at activities like walking, low activity, things like walking or yoga, which were effective, but they also looked at jogging, they looked at strength training, and there were 218 relevant trials, which they looked at and analyzed, of about 14,000 people in the trials. And each trial was assessed for bias and intensity and exercise. And they found generally, these are trials on depression, with and without treatment of antidepressants. And they discovered with active controls that people who exercised inevitably did better, whether or not they were on antidepressants, whether or not they engaged in psychology, talk therapy, or anything. So it shows that exercise helps depression.
I believe it.
You know, so that's
you always feel better after you exercise.
No, you do. You just feel better. But getting yourself out to exercise, you know, the hardest thing about exercise often is the door.
It's just starting. Yeah,
exactly. Got to open the door.
Yeah.
If you don't open the door, you can't exercise.
Right.
You go. Yeah. You know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
It's that initiation. Once you're actually doing it,
right.
It then can really have some meaningful thing. And if you're depressed, or if you know somebody is depressed, go take them for a walk. Say, no, you're not doing very well. Why don't we go for a walk today? Maybe you start walking with them on a regular basis. And then for depression, if you do that, it's not just walking and exercising. We also know that social interaction helps with depression. And when you do that for someone else, they benefit and you benefit too because you feel better because they're improving.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Call anytime, leave us a voicemail, and let's go to one of those voicemails now. This is a caller from Ashland, Wisconsin.
I have a question about blood pressure medicine called Atenolol. And I wonder if there might be another substitute for it because I have some bad reactions with Atenolol, and I think Mr. Zorba might have the answer. Thank you very much.
I love it. I might have the
answer.
You have
the answers.
Yeah, I got the answer. I'm the answer man. I'm
yeah,
the
that's
doctor,
right.
The answer man. Well, first of all, it kind of depends. It's called a beta blocker. And it depends on what you're on it for. If you're on it for high blood pressure, there are a lot of other blood pressure pills. And you talk to your doctor or your primary care provider and switch to a different medication. If you're on it post-heart attack, there are other beta blockers that you may tolerate that Atenolol isn't. And it's a good point. And I think there's a bottom line point about our listener who asked it. You know, here it is. They have side effects from medication. Maybe they're real. Maybe they're not real. You wonder about it. You might have a concurrent disease. Or the side effects might be real from that medicine, or it might be the interaction of that medicine for other medicines. And it turns out it's a complex question that is best answered by your primary care person because you got to find out what's going on and what the side effects are. So, for example, if you look at antidepressants, and we just talked about depression, SSRI antidepressants like Prozac, Paxil, and Zoloft, they have a side effect, of especially prominent in men, with orgasm. They often may be able to get an erection. They may be able to sustain erection, but they may have orgasmic dysfunction, and it comes from the side effect of the medication. So all of a sudden, they may not be depressed, but all of a sudden they can't have sex or they're having sex and they're not actually achieving orgasm, and it's a side effect of the drug, but they're too embarrassed to maybe tell their primary care provider because talking about sex is something we don't ordinarily do in the office. So the bottom line here is, why is he having trouble with his beta blocker? What are the complications, and are there alternatives? Because that example, for instance, has alternatives with different antidepressants, such as bupropion. And for beta blocker, you have ACE inhibitors, ARBs, you have hydrochlorothiazide, a whole bunch of other drugs. So this means a good interaction with your doctor. A lot of people don't have that. And that's one of the reasons they call us up.
Yeah, it's important to have that relationship.
And it's good. And read about it. Read about things. So.
Yeah, and Zorba, I've also heard some people who have trouble with public speaking also maybe use beta blockers. They're helpful. Maybe for that?
Oh, beta blockers are great for public speaking. So, for instance, if you ask people what they're most anxious about, it's getting up in front of a crowd and talking. That's sort of the number one anxiety talk about. It's not easy.
You do it a lot.
Yeah, but I have stage fright when I get up in front. I actually do. Just before I talk, the first thing I think about is, why am I here? I shouldn't be doing this. And I realize it's stage fright. And I get on there and I have a way of sort of overcoming it, and it disappears at about 45 seconds to a minute and a half. I know exactly when it disappears in my brain. But beta blockers help people. So the side effect of a beta blocker is it attenuates the adrenal response that we get when all of a sudden it's flight or fright. Mm. So if you're in public speaking and you take 10 milligrams, we'll say, of propranolol, or 12.5 to 25 milligrams of atenolol an hour before you public speak, bang. Doesn't bother you as much.
Okay.
It also, the side effect of that is used by violinists throughout the country, because when they're actually playing, you're sort of interested. You're wondering why.
Wow.
Because when you have an adrenal response, you have a slight increase in the tremor of your hand.
Oh, to get that vibrato?
Correct. That is exactly what
that's
it is.
Cool.
So you're now using the side effect of beta blockers that do it. And so here it is. The side effects are actually useful for people. So that's really where knowing what the medication is and what it does for you can be very, very useful. And once again, it's not just your primary care provider, it's your pharmacist, and that's where medicine as a team sport is the way we should think about it and the way we should approach it with our patients and the way our patients should approach it with us. And listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health will improve your medical care. You're laughing.
Well, I just thought of something, actually.
Hey, we got to commercialize it. Even though it's public radio, we got to talk about the show. But it really is why people listen to us.
Yeah.
They don't listen to us for our jokes. They're too lame.
Oh, yeah. That's my fault. But no, speaking of lame jokes, I thought of something. The vibrato in your fingers, yeah. I want, you know, B.B. King, the guitarist.
Yes,
he has one of the most pronounced vibratos on guitar.
Yes, amazing.
Do you think his B.B. is beta blocker king? Is that his nickname?
B.B. beta blocker king. No, I don't think so.
Okay,
thumbs up from Brad. All right, okay. Well, hey, you know, that's your bailiwick, not mine, so.
All right, 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite backseat drivers and hand raisers. This is the Grammar Police.
So now I have a question for you. So when I went to school, Solomon School in Chicago in the 50s, I went to grammar school. That's what it was called, grammar school. So do your kids go to grammar school or elementary school?
It's just called elementary
school. See, so when I was a child, grammar was king. Of course, they also rated you on your penmanship. And if you didn't have good cursive writing, you'd get a C or a D. And now they don't even teach cursive. So come on, grammar people.
They still do cursive a little bit.
A little bit.
I've seen my kids learning cursive.
But does grammar really matter? I mean, come on. I mean, when you text, you care about those periods and commas?
I still do. Most people don't.
You see?
I'm a stickler.
That's your
stickler. Maybe it's the show that's done this to
it's
me.
It's the show. That's right. You know what we don't have? We've never had the texting police.
No. Maybe people should text the show more. Actually, I don't think they can. All right, Zorba. This message came from a keen-eared...
Try texting us. It won't work. That's right. It'll fall on deaf ears. I mean, fell on deaf ears.
I thought you said duff ears.
I did say duff ears.
See, you're just making more content right
let's
now for the grammar. Pronunciation, please.
Come on, grammar
okay, please.
People.
This message came from a keen-eared listener named Deb.
Deb, okay. Deb.
Who's also my mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. This is not from my mother-in-law, but my mother-in-law's name is Deb. Uh-huh. Deb writes, Zorba, I thought I'd give you a heads up before the grammar police attack.
Oh, my God.
Pre-grammar
police.
Yeah, this is a preemptive.
This is like the scout.
Yeah, exactly.
The scout for the grammar
She's
police.
She's doing a solid here, I feel like. Okay. You said on a recent show that a machine that slices food thin is called a mandolin. But the machine is actually called a mandolin. Mandolin, with an E at the end, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Mandalay is a city in Burma.
I know a bit. Yeah,
hugs.
That's right.
She gave you hugs at the end.
Thanks. That's right. It's a city in Burma. That's right. That's right. That's right. And it was, I'm trying to remember the author who wrote about it. It was E.M. Forster who wrote about Mandalay. But you know what? Now I read new stuff.
Okay. Are you slicing up mass quantities of veggies like Bruce Hornsby and making the mandolin rain?
Oh, gosh. You know something? You know, the reality is I'm in a different life here. I don't even see anything about this. But it's right. It's a mandolin and not a mandolay. I stand corrected. And I'll put it in my brain the same way as Garabanzo and Garbanzo. Okay. That's it. You know, I love to be corrected. I really do. I really do.
You
I'm
do.
Trying to improve my grammar. I've been doing it since I went to elementary school.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you like Bruce Hornsby? Do you like mandolin rain?
You
know this song.
Do I know this
song? It's a big song.
You gotta play it. You gotta play a little tune to it.
I actually prepared it.
Oh, okay. I can't, something, nothing gets past you.
Brad, let's hear a little bit of Bruce Hornsby, Mandolin Rain. You've heard this.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Of course. It's
absolutely.
Been on the radio for decades.
Yeah, for decades. Really, I'm not that old. I'm only 76.
All right. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email.
Zorba at WPR.org.
All right. We'll have more of your calls coming up, more emails and voicemails, and like a couple of public radio sorcerers, we'll be cooking up a cauldron of spinach and chickpea stew.
It's really good. It's delicious.
Good.
You'll love it.
So keep it right here on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen, sitting in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's right over there. The number to call anytime, 800-462-7413. That's 800-462.
I am over here.
He's right there. 7413.
I'm not virtual. I'm actually here.
He is a real person.
That's right.
Anyways, let's get into the recipe today. We have spinach and chickpea stew.
That's right. Now, notice we said we didn't say spinach and garbanzo stew.
Or garabanzo.
Because I might mispronounce it. But chickpeas, they look like little chickens. Have you ever noticed that?
They're pretty cute.
Yeah, they're pretty cute.
Beans
they're cute beans.
Are they beans?
Cute beans.
Are they legumes?
No, they're legumes. They're legumes.
Okay.
Legumes.
Right.
Okay, so let's go to the ingredients. Start out with a 28 ounce of whole peeled tomatoes. So,
mm-hmm.
28 ounces. You're going to use about a 1-inch knob of ginger. You're going to peel some ginger, about 1 inch.
A 1-inch. I've never heard ginger referred to as a knob.
That's right. Well, now you've learned something.
Okay.
Another word, another definition of knob, probably number 5 on Webster's Dictionary.
Right.
Quarter of a cup of extra virgin olive oil.
Quarter cup extra virgin olive
medium
oil.
Medium onion finely sliced.
One medium onion finely sliced.
4 cloves of garlic finely sliced.
4 cloves of garlic finely sliced.
A teaspoon of paprika. You can use sweet paprika or hot smoked paprika. I'd probably use sweet paprika for this, but hot smoked will give you a different taste.
Okay.
So 12 ounces of spinach. Now, if you've got fresh spinach, you got to chop it up. That's okay. But if you're going to use frozen spinach, which you can do, you then have to get all the water out of the spinach, and you do that by squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. But you can do it. I've done it before.
That's a lot of squeezing.
And squeezing.
12 ounces fresh spinach.
Forever.
Roughly
you can put it in a colander, but you still have to squeeze it.
Okay.
2 14-ounce cans of garbanzo beans. I pronounced it correctly.
Very good. 2 14-ounce cans of garbanzo beans.
Rinsed. You got to rinse it.
Chickpeas.
That's
you got to rinse them.
Yep. You got to take them and rinse them. You can also make them from scratch, either by boiling, and that's okay. But generally, you know, you're going to use canned stuff. I do because it's easier for this.
Okay.
But either one will work. 2 bay leaves. 2 teaspoons of soy sauce.
2 little tea soy sauce.
You're going to have some kosher salt. And if you have it, sherry vinegar for serving. Let's make it. So drain the tomatoes in a metal strainer. In other words, what you want to do is get the liquid out of the tomatoes. Transfer the liquid of that and half the tomatoes to a blender with ginger. So you're taking out the liquid that the tomatoes are in. You're taking out half the ginger, putting it in the blender. Blend at high speed until it's completely pureed, set aside. Take the remaining tomatoes that are peeled, set them aside in a bowl. Now, heat the olive oil in a large, straight-sided skillet over high heat till it's shimmering. Add the onion, the garlic, the paprika. Cook and stir frequently until they're softened. Slightly brown. It's going to take about 3 to 5 minutes. Then add the tomato ginger puree. It should immediately start simmering, if not turn up the heat a bit. Stir it to combine, then add the spinach, 1 handful at a time, allowing each handful to wilt before adding the rest. Reduce the heat to medium, allow the spinach mixture to simmer, stirring occasionally, till it's tender, about 10 minutes. Then add the chopped tomatoes you put to the side, the garbanzo beans, and the bay leaves and the soy sauce. Bring to a boil over high heat, reduce to a bare simmer, and cook, stirring occasionally until thickened into a thick stew, about 30 minutes. then season it with a little kosher salt, serve it immediately, drizzle with a little extra virgin olive oil on top, and a few drops of sherry vinegar if you haven't. You've got a wonderful spinach and chickpea stew, and I know the people in their car obviously did not write this down.
I hope not.
Well, not unless they stopped their car. Yeah. That's right. Can you imagine? Yes, you can, because people do all sorts of things in their cars.
They do.
But you can get this recipe by magic. You go to the web at zorbapastor.org, and you can find us through Facebook, and you can find this recipe. You can find other recipes, and you can see photos of Carl if you want to.
And photos of Tom, right?
That's right.
Isn't that the old bit?
That's right. That's right. That's zorbapastor.org. And remember, Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to the phone calls now. Let's help a caller from Queens, New York. Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing? How can we help?
Okay, I have a question. Back the end of November, I had blood in my urine. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine took me to a nearby urgent care because it was urgent.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So,
blood is urgent, always. That's what people meet it. When you get blood in your urine, it freaks you out. So it is urgent. You want to know what's going on right away.
Okay, so I went to this doctor on Long Island. Mm-hmm. She prescribed, she said I had a UTI, and she prescribed this medication, starts with an N.
Probably nitrofurantoin, that might have been what it is.
Sounds right. Yeah. Anyway, it was pretty heavy duty because it had some effects on me, like dizziness and drowsiness and whatever. But about 3 days later, boom, crystal clear. Light colored, yellow,
perfect
urine, mm-hmm. very good, you know. Mm-hmm. So then I went to see urologist.
Oh,
okay. Uh-huh. Took a urine sample, and then a few days later, she says there's no bacteria, there's no infection, blah, 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 fine.
Mm-hmm.
So she arranged for me to have some,
imaging study,
mm-hmm. And then a few days later, the doctor called me.
Okay.
So I have a cyst on one of my kidneys.
Mm-hmm. Cysts are pretty common. Usually they're benign. I mean, the imaging study will show
right.
you one way or another.
There are two types. When I say I have investigated everything about kidneys and bladder and you name it.
Good idea. So, good idea. And you know, with the web, you can get so much information. You look back years ago and you couldn't get it. It was much harder. You had to go to a library and it was hard to get.
Right. You know, I look all this up on my phone. Bing, bang, boom. It's
and that's incredible. And the best patient is the educated patient, and that's why we're here. So, you know, this is part of your investigation. Yes. Yeah, so, like you said, they're cysts. They can tell whether or not they're benign or not benign.
Anyway, so I have that on my mind now. So I know where everything's located. I know where the kidneys are located, the bladder's located, the prostate, where the prostate is located. So I'm calling you.
Go to urology school. That's what happens. That'll be your next step. Go to medical school and become a urologist.
I'm a retired letter carrier for 40 years.
Oh, wow. Well, you're an educated retired letter carrier for 40 years, obviously.
Okay. So also my urologist said that I have a stone in my bladder.
A bladder stone. Okay.
Mm-hmm. A bladder stone.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So I've been drinking water like a camel. Maybe I'll pass it. She had prescribed the Flomax. I didn't take it. Too many possible side effects. Although 10 years ago, I had a kidney stone.
Uh-huh.
Okay, not a bladder stone, but a kidney stone. And the doctor at the time, this Dr. Schwartz, he said he prescribed the Flomax.
Mm-hmm.
And two days later, boom, I peed it out. Boom, I went diving right into the toilet bowl to get it. No, I'm not kidding you. So I could have it
analyzed. It's a way to do it and get it analyzed. Anyone should dive into the bowl. Well, with your hands. You don't actually dive into the bowl, obviously.
It's a big toilet.
It's a phrase, Carl.
Okay.
It's a phrase. It's not been taken literally.
That's good. All right, that's funny. It turned out to be a calcium oxalate type.
Right,
no,
right. Most common. That's like 90-some percent, 90-some percent.
I was able to pass it.
Yeah.
So this bladder stone, she believes it's 5 millimeters.
Mm-hmm.
She said I could possibly pass it.
Right, you might pass it.
Between 5 and 7.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Right.
Pass,
and if it's too and if it's too big, you don't pass it. But I'll tell you something. They don't usually cause any problems. It's just something they found. So, you know, it may have been there for years. Could have been there for a long time. It's not related to the urinary tract infection. It just could have been there for years. And it's an what we call an incidental finding. They happen to find it. Like you said, the Flomax may help you pass it, but it's not going to cause you any trouble. I mean,
yeah,
I
have the bottle. I picked it up from the drugstore weeks ago. I didn't touch it. I'm like, it's not coming from my kidneys.
Right.
So
what
I'm
happens
not-
is the ureter, as you know, because you've read about it, is a much smaller tube, and that's where it gets stuck and it's painful. But the bladder, once it gets to the bladder, you've got the urethra. It's much bigger, and you may not have any symptoms when you pass the stone. So what you just got to do, first of all, it's not going to bother you. You don't need to take the medication. Incidental finding, and when you pee, look in the toilet.
Should he dive for it this time?
I don't think you should dive. I don't think you should dive. No diving into the toilet.
Too bad I gave away all my snorkeling stuff. Anyway, I should not disregard it, but I should not worry too much about
it. I wouldn't worry about it at all. I mean, read about bladder stones. They're common, and they just happen to find it because you had a urinary tract infection, and they decided they were going to look further, and they just happen to find it. It could have been there for 10, 20 years. No idea. You could have had a small kidney stone, passed it, had a little backache. I've had two stones in my lifetime, and I had – I mean, everyone – almost everyone gets pain with kidney stones. I didn't have any pain for either stone. One was like I had a backache, and then turned out I had a little blood in my urine. And the next time I had it, I had blood in my urine, and I needed something called lithotripsy to get rid of it. But I never had any pain. And I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. I am not one I can take it. I'm like, I can't take it.
Well, you're a better man than me, Gunga Dean.
I don't think Carl knows. You don't know where that comes from.
I don't get that reference.
He doesn't
but I love
get the
how it
reference.
Sounds.
He doesn't get the reference. He doesn't get
of
the reference.
He doesn't.
He doesn't get the famous.
What is it?
It's a poem that we all learned in school by Rudyard Kipling. Oh. Rudyard, not Kipling.
Exactly.
Yeah, Rudyard Kipling.
Rudyard Kipling.
Yeah, Kipling.
Better yet, Carl, they made a movie about it. Victor McLagan,
yeah.
Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and Cary Grant.
Yeah, it was a famous movie. Yeah.
Oh, what a movie. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite movies. In my top five movies, Gunga Dean. Gunga Dean
that's
is
right.
One of my favorite
it's
movies.
A famous, and it came from a poem. That's what it came from.
Exactly. I'll put it on my list.
Because at the end of the movie, Kipling is reciting, Dean, Dean, you're a better man than me, Gunga Dean. Excellent. What a movie. it was made in the 30s. Excellent movie. I mean.
We'll put it on. We'll put a connection on our website.
That sounds good.
We'll do
I'll
that,
check so. It out.
So thanks very much for sharing. For
just
sharing
one question,
everything.
Doc.
Sure.
This bladder stone, is it going to get bigger in my bladder?
Probably. Well, I don't know. I think they're individually formed, but I don't know if they get bigger once they're in the bladder. You stump me. I don't have any
stump
idea.
Stump the doc.
Stump me. I don't know if they get bigger. And we don't have a computer in front of us. We're a computer when we're actually on the show.
Hey, I got a new I have a new segment for your show. Stump the doc.
I love it.
There you go.
Now I'm going to come up with a theme, though.
You know, Doc, we spoke in 2021. August of 2021, my wife had just had her gallbladder removed, and I was asking you questions about that.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I think you're a great guy. And Carl is A number one, too.
All right.
There we go. There we go.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. All right. Take care now.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Doctor.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Great call. Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, let's take a listener email from the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox. This is from George in Oklahoma, who writes, Dr. Zorba, I'm a 55-year-old male in excellent health. I'm 5'11" and weigh about 210 pounds in my birthday suit.
It's such a phrase, isn't it? I love the phrase in my birthday suit. It's great. We all know what that means.
That's right. Yes, BMI would say I'm obese, but I lifted heavy most of my life and have a lot of muscle on my frame and cannot pinch an inch at my waist. As I have aged,
that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. As I have aged, I have adapted my exercise regimen to deal with achy joints and a fussy back. I primarily
I
do
like it. Fussy back.
Fussy back.
I like that. Yeah. I've got a fussy back.
Kind of.
It's a good phrase.
Up. I have a fussy back. I primarily do body weight exercise coupled with stretching and cardio. An important note is I enjoy challenging myself. I recently discovered the Jacob's Ladder machine, which is very challenging but very low impact. It's kind of a thing where you're climbing stairs.
Yeah. You've
probably seen it.
I've seen them. I didn't know
you're
that was the phrase,
rungs,
but
I guess.
Yeah, you're never getting up there.
Right.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. Treadmill, ladder, treadmill thing. I will push myself hard when I do it. After finishing, I am breathing hard and probably could not carry on a conversation.
Good.
All that to ask, as I age, should I restrain how much I push myself or keep up with the rigor which I seem to enjoy? Thanks.
Well, first of all, you know, let's go to BMI for just a second. BMI... I mean, come on, we overuse it. So, you know, I can have young guys in my office who are really muscular, they're weightlifters, and the BMI shows them that they're obese, and they're not obese because they're muscle. And if you actually put them in a tank, the only way to really measure accurately how much fat you have is to dunk you in a tank and see how much water is displaced based on how much you weigh otherwise, and you could tell the percentage of fat. That's the experimental way. There are other ways through little devices that you stand on that look at electrical impedance. They give you an idea. But the reality is BMI is overrated. Gives you an idea. Got to look in the mirror. That gives you an idea, too. But your question is, how much should you push yourself? And the answer is, you can push yourself when you're older, but you've got to do it kind of in a methodical way. So if you're older and your joints are aching too much after you're actually exercising, and it's a bad ache versus a good ache, and anyone who exercises, you know what that means.
Sure.
I mean, you know when, God, I feel like I really exercised yesterday, that feels differently than a fussy back.
Right. Like and I pulled something or I did something.
It's a different kind of a feeling. So you got to kind of pace yourself and see what it is. And when you get older, frankly, you do things differently because you can take a risk when you're in your 20s that you don't want to take when you're in your 50s or 60s, and certainly you don't want to take in your 70s. So use your brain to determine what exercise you should do. And if you have a question, ask someone who you think is smarter than you are.
Is that you?
Maybe me.
Do you have a healthy living question for the good doc? No sweat. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
sorba@wpr.org.
All right, we have much more of the show to come. We'll have more of your calls. We'll discuss another healthy living topic, and we'll hear more of your voicemails as well. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. If you have a healthy living question, give us a call at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we get back to those phones, Zorba, we have a new study here. 100% fruit juice associated with weight gain in children and adults.
Well, fruit juice, you know, you think
it's okay, right?
You're going to give your kids fruit juice. Yeah. It's really going to be
especially
100%
fruit
100%
juice.
Yeah, 100% fruit juice, but you don't think about a lot of things like calories. 8 ounces of typical fruit juice has 120 calories. Think about a Snickers is about 200 calories. So when you give 12 ounces of fruit juice, you're giving your kids as many calories as if you gave them a Snickers.
Is there anything good about what they're getting, though, with
Well, there's something good about fruit, but let's talk about fruit juice. Let's look at something like apple juice. So apple juice has almost no vitamin C in it. It's got like 2 milligrams, which is not very much vitamin C. And so companies that make apple juice for kids add vitamin C to it.
Okay.
And they'll say vitamin C apple juice. So you immediately, you know, when you think of vitamin C, you think of it as health, right?
Like maybe it's natural in there.
This is really good.
Natural.
So Fruit juice is okay in moderate amounts. So the American Academy of Pediatrics looked at this. There was a study in JAMA Pediatrics and looked at a guidance. And the guidance is kids 1 to 3, you should limit it to 4 ounces of fruit juice daily. Okay.
Okay.
Limits kids 4 to 6, 6 ounces, and 7 to 18, 8 ounces. So in other words, you can give them fruit juice, but you can't give them too much fruit
juice.
That's
not a lot of fruit juice.
8 ounces is not very much.
6 ounces, 8 ounces.
It's very little fruit juice. Yeah. Now, what's better is to give your kids fruit. So why is it better to give? Why do you think? What's in fruit versus fruit juice?
Well, it's a natural thing that happens.
It's a natural thing, and it's got fiber in it.
Okay.
And the fiber slows down the amount of how the calories are actually processed. The food is actually processed in the gut. And that fiber turns out to be really important. And you tend to drink a lot of fruit juice, but you wouldn't eat as many apples as you would to get into 6 or 8 ounces of fruit juice. I don't know. I'd have to look it up, and I don't have a computer here, how many apples it takes for 8 ounces. But frankly, you wouldn't eat those many calories. And if you did, you would have a lot of fiber with it. And it slows down the absorption. Mm. So this particularly looked at it because we have a lot of ways that we can get our kids overweight, mm-hmm. and we don't want to get them to be fat and overweight. And yet as a good parent, you're thinking fruit juice is really good. Just like milk is good, but not too much milk. It's fruit juice is okay, but not too much fruit juice. And that's why you've got to read the labels and think about giving your kids lots of other things. Remember, the most important thing to drink in childhood is water.
Sure.
And that's the good habit. Unsweetened water is the best thing to drink because that's what you want to encourage your drink. So limit the amount of fruit juice you're giving your kids, and they won't be as likely to be overweight.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to the phones now. Let's try to help out a listener in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Zorba. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure. How can we help you?
All right. So I have this question. I have intense pain going from my hip down to about my ankle and only on the right side, right in external side of my leg.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The pain would be 12 mm-hmm. out of a 10 or 13 out of a 10.
Uh-huh. So really serious pain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The only way I can alleviate it is by going around the knee. When I bend my knee, I kind of fold my fingers and push that muscle, flesh, what have you, away from my chin, and that alleviates the pain for 20 minutes, half an hour, and then we go back at it.
How long has the pain been going on?
I would say over a year.
Mm-hmm. So exercise, are you taking any medication for it at all?
Well, I'm sort of against medication. So sure. Yesterday okay. I took an aspirin, maybe a 400 level, mm-hmm. 400 milligram, but that's very rare.
First of all, is it an electrical type feeling or is it a muscular feeling? What does it feel like to you? What do you think? Where do you think it's from and how does it feel?
All right. I can take pain. I'm a foreign person, and the level of pain mm-hmm. we have, it's shared in a different manner than with American people, I would mm-hmm. say.
Sure. Right. You can tolerate.
Yeah, I can tolerate right. very high tolerance for pain. So I would say it's muscular.
Okay. So I want to get to what is the exercise that seems to help this pain?
All right. So if I sit down mm-hmm. and I do like some people call it clam, like mm-hmm. I open my hips.
Okay.
And I close, open in hips and close them. Or if I put a pillow under the opposite side of my pain, mm-hmm. that can help too. Mm-hmm. But it's really short-lived.
So there are a couple of things you can do. So first of all, what you want to do is, one of the things I would do is I would consider getting a referral to physical therapy for them to evaluate things. But short of that, you may want to look at exercises that you can get on the web yourself, and you can see whether or not they can reduce the pain. The pain, possibly, if it goes down into your heel, into the bottom of your foot, it could be pain from a disc in the back, because discs can cause pain, and most discs are treated with exercise, so it's possibly from a disc. Could be a little arthritis. How old are you?
62.
So you could have a little arthritis there, and it could be muscular. But in any case, what I would do first, if you're my patient and you don't want to take any medicine, by the way, I would use ibuprofen versus aspirin if I were to use something, you know, one to two tablets three times a day. But you don't need to do that in order to, it doesn't actually get it better. I would go, I like Bob and Brad exercises. They are.
Oh, I know them.
They're Dexter.
I follow them, yes.
They're really good. They're physical therapists from Wisconsin. And they do a good job. What I would do is I would go to hip pain for their exercises, and I would work on hip pain to see what it is. And I would do that, those exercises, because you said a clamshell seems to be working for you. You could have a little degenerative arthritis in the hip, but those particular exercises are also good to reduce disc pain because of the way they work. So I would look at that. And then I would look, if that didn't work, I would look at the low back pain exercises that they recommend for low back pain, because that might relieve things that are going on your disc. And that's what I would do. And the important thing about exercise, especially with pain like this, is you have to do it every day for a good 8 to 12 weeks to actually make a difference in what's going on with your muscles and your joints. So it can't be an occasional use. You've got to dedicate yourself to at least 10 minutes once a day, or preferably 10 minutes twice a day, and you do it every single day. It's very important to get those joints moving, to get the disc settled in and so on. So Bob and Brad, who you know, exercises, that's where I would have first. And if that didn't work, then you want to get an evaluation from physical therapy. That's what I would do.
Okay. Acupuncture does seem to help, though.
It helps in the short to get over it. But exercise is ultimately the way to go. That's the vehicle to better health.
It is. I need it.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, let's go to voicemail now. This is a listener from, now don't play it yet. This is a listener from Chickasha, Oklahoma. And I love looking, I've told you this before, Zorba, I love looking up notable people from towns I've never heard of. I've never heard of Chickasha, Oklahoma before.
Versus non-notable people from towns you have heard of. There's a difference. That's right.
So I looked up who was from Chickasha, if anyone, you know, notable.
What is Chickasha?
Chickasha, Oklahoma.
Chickasha, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I looked it up.
I mean, we're not from Oklahoma, so we know it. Yeah. But if you lived in Oklahoma, you'd probably know Chickasha.
I bet Oklahoma listeners right now are saying, come on, you know Chickasha.
Well, I like the name is great.
It's a great name.
You know, like Oconomowoc is a great name.
Oconomowoc, Chickasha. Yeah. So here's who's from Chickasha. Jean Porter Hester. Uh-huh. She was an American physician known for her work in cancer research. Mm-hmm. She was one of the developers of, no, I'd never heard of this, IBM 2997, the computerized blood cell separator. These are the magicians
IBM being, you know, it was called Big Blue because they were the computer people.
Yep. Anyways, someone else from Chickasha was an actor, Lee Pace. Have you heard of Lee Pace?
Can't say that I have. What was he in?
He was in a show called Pushing Daisies. He was a bad guy in Guardians of the Galaxy. He had a lot of makeup on.
He
was in the Hobbit films. He was the Elf King.
I've seen the Hobbit films.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, come on. Did you see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Sure. Yeah.
Part one and part two.
I saw them both.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're good. Right. One was better than two. I like one better than two.
But so the reason I'm bringing this guy up is I don't think Chickasha is that big of a town, and this guy's kind of a big actor.
Yeah.
My wife thinks I kind of look like this guy. She thinks I could be a stunt double, which is flattering because he's a pretty handsome guy. Okay, I don't think I'm this handsome. I'm definitely not this fit as this guy is.
That's it.
Does that look like me at all? I'm showing Zorba some photos of Lee Pace.
There's no doubt. Yes, you've got right over here. You've got the face over there. You could be the stunt double. There's no doubt.
Maybe just from behind.
Not from behind. You've got your face. That's it. Now, why are we doing this? This is a health show. This is like a side sidebar.
Yeah, yeah, let's listen to the voicemail from Chickasha.
Oh, from Chickasha. Oh, I see. I totally forgot about what we're doing.
That's my fault. We're on a show, aren't we? This is a show. We're doing a show.
Chickasha. All
right. Chickasha, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was calling to find out what's better, liquid vitamins or pill form vitamins. Which is better?
Well, there is no better. So it turns out that when you buy vitamins, vitamins are regulated by the FDA, unlike supplements that really do almost no regulation. Vitamins are actually regulated. So if you look at multivitamin, we'll say that has 100% of everything in it. Whether it's in a liquid or a pill form, it will absorb in your body the same way. Now, there was a guy years ago who invented these liquid vitamins, made him millions of dollars because he said these are really absorbed in your body better. But it turns out they're not. The pill absorbs in your stomach, so either one works. Now, I found I don't like taking a big... Do you take vitamins at all?
I take some gummy vitamins, yeah.
Well, that's what I do. I found I don't really like swallowing a big vitamin tablet, so now I like gummy vitamins, so I chew my vitamins, and it's kind of sweet. It's like a couple of calories. Did you ever read the bottle?
Yeah, there's not that many calories.
Five.
I did hear a dentist...
Five,
oh, really?
That's
okay,
it.
Yeah, that's not
Five.
Bad.
You heard a dentist? Are you going to say the dentist?
Well, a dentist once told me, or maybe it was a dental assistant, that the dental community loves the advent of gummy vitamins because it's... I think it gets clogged in your teeth more, and it's good for business. I don't know if that's substantiated or not. Don't come after us, dental associations, whoever you are.
So take your vitamin, swallow the pill, chew the gummy, or take the liquid. And I used to be, again, you know, I've gone back and forth on multivitamins. And another study showed that it may reduce the risk of dementia. And so I've gone back to taking a multivitamin every day. I've decided, you know, they're cheap, they're inexpensive. The real issue is don't think a vitamin is really what you should take instead of eating a variety of fruits and vegetables. And that's the big issue. People think I'm getting my vitamins through the pill. And the answer is no. You get your vitamins also, very importantly, through good food.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, before we head out today, Zorba, we don't mind taking our lumps from the grammar police or getting into some healthy debate during our disagreeing with the doc segment, but sometimes it's just nice to hear we're doing a good job.
Yes.
The following handwritten card came to us from a listener named Annie in Philadelphia. Annie writes, and she wrote it in purple Sharpie, which is that's really
nice.
Cool.
Yes.
Annie
nice.
Writes, Dr. Zorba and family, my mother Lucy listened to you on KTEP for many years. In 2007 and 2009, I spent much time with her in El Paso. She had some big scares, and we'd listen to you every week. She died in 2013, but I still listen every week. It makes me feel so close to my mom, and I learn so much. Now that Tom's retired, I get scared that you might stop the show. I hope that won't happen soon. I'm so sorry that you lost your true love, but know that there are many of us who love you out here.
Oh,
thank you for your show, and give little Debbie a squeeze for me.
Little Debbie.
Little Debbie's
that's the pastry.
That is the rock solid snack treat that we've had for months sitting on our desk.
That's right. So.
Yeah, nice card.
Well,
very
thank you. That's
handwritten
a very nice card.
And
you know what? Handwritten cards are really the highest form of a compliment when people send a card, put a stamp on it. And that was such a nice card. So thank you so much. Thank you for your kind words. That's very much appreciated.
Has Dr. Zorba helped you out? Please share your story with us. You can post on our Facebook page, or you can always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
Absolutely.
All right. If you missed anything during the show, or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org, or of course through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us
anytime.
To leave us your... I got the last one there. Leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.